This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local union 9 sheet metal workers.
Who let it down?
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Not again.
Not again. Yeah.
Jokic setting the screen. Nice pass, Murray. Jokic. Oh, oh, slam the door. Turnover. Here comes the highlight. Pumped by Watson with the exclamation point. Jokic just 36 points. Backdoor feed. And it's Brown. A high flyer. Gets the slam and a foul. Meanwhile, all Christian Brown switching hands in midair. Flushing him with a left hand. Over that dunk. Now a miss by Edwards. Denver again in transition. Oh, yeah! Why not?
Got the drink in me going back to back. Yeah. Going back to back. I got the drink in me.
That's what the Denver Nuggets are trying to do. And now, after last night, they have the inside track to do so. The number one seed was hanging from the ceiling of Ball Arena, like the title in a ladder match.
Okay, okay.
And the Nuggets climbed that ladder and took that number one seed, like Razor Ramon at WrestleMania 10.
Oh!
Oh, my gosh.
Dirty.
Hey, how fun was that, being in the building last night, man?
It was fun, man. It was a fun night. And look, you go to the game, Zach, and everybody is just, like, kind, happy, excited. You didn't have to deal with any riffraff or anything like that. Like, everybody was just tuned in to the game. Everybody was tuned in for us having this big win. Mm. All right? I felt like everybody was warming up. I was. Mm. And I knew it was going to be a good night when Rocky made that shot.
Yes. Now, Rocky's been struggling a little bit with the half court behind the back shot. I don't know who's who. Who's dad? Who's the son? I don't know. They swapped in and out. But yeah, he did. Rocky made his half court behind the back shot. That's usually a pretty good omen.
It was fun. It was fun to see. The atmosphere was great.
So good.
You know what I mean? You had all these different talent shows going on. So it was a great time. And then when you watch the game and it was a battle, especially going into halftime, I'm like, is the Timberwolves going to start pulling away here? Mm-hmm. Of course, foolish me. Shame on me. They go out there and handle business, especially in crunch time.
In crunch time, in winning time, where the game is hanging in the balance, there is no one in the National Basketball Association that has a higher trust level than the Denver Nuggets. I mean, you look at the second half of that game. Minnesota's the best second half team in the NBA, okay? The number one point differential in second halves this season. What happened in the second half last night? Denver outscored them 67-55. Minnesota's the biggest team in the NBA. Denver outscored them 36-20 in the paint. That's where the big guys are supposed to roam, all right? Plus 16 in the paint, 25-11 in rebounds, 19-10 in assist. They shot 12% better, and it was Jokic leading the way. 24 of Jokic's 41 points came in the second half. It was the 20th time in Jokic's career where he reaches the 40-point mark that passes Carmelo Anthony for second most in the history of this franchise. And when it was all on the line, I love Anthony Edwards. He's one of my favorite players. He is worth the price of admission.
And he's going to only get better, man.
He's going to get better. He's young. 22. But he had 0 points in the fourth quarter. When the game hung in the balance, that's where, when we talk about the scars, the past scars on the traditional NBA climb, Anthony Edwards just doesn't have enough of those yet to be the alpha dog on a title team. Just not yet.
No, not yet. But how do you get the scars? You got to go through the fire. You got to go through upsets. You got to go through hard times. All right, so it's not his time yet. It's Jokic's time.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. Anthony Edwards, if he could continue to go on this scale, on this rate of where he's doing it, by the time, he's done, I think he'll have an MVP. So it's one of those things where he just has to buy his time, be patient, let things develop, let everybody kind of help him out, let everybody kind of pave the way for him, his teammates and stuff, and do things like that.
If Jokic is going to win the third MVP. We agree on that, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's crazy because Nathan MacKinnon went crazy at Ball Arena.
Yep.
And then the next time that we had a great end there, he goes crazy at Ball Arena.
Yeah.
It's just a fitting indie.
In back-to-back nights. Yeah. I mean, we could play the Drake back-to-back again because it was back-to-back nights. It was both on national TV.
Yep.
The entire market got to see it, which otherwise we know the situation here. So it was just a blissful 48 hours. I mean, watching MacKinnon and the loud impact that he had on that game, that's like just so digestible, watching him just zoom by other guys. And then watching Jokic in the best basketball league in the world, and then the best defender within that league, try to slow Jokic down, who traditionally Rudy Gobert does as good of a job on Jokic as anyone else in the NBA. And Jokic went at his neck over and over and over and over and over again in that second half. That's the best guy that can slow him down. 41 on 16 of 20 shooting. 16 of 20 is alien stuff, Phil.
16 of 20.
Yeah, he missed four shots, and you scored 41 points, and you missed four shots.
Hold up. So he shot 20 times, which equaled out to 41 points.
That's insane.
It is insane. When you break things down like that.
It takes most guys.
I was surprised.
Dude, you score 41 points. Typically, that's on like 29 to 35 shots. But no, I guess I'm not. I mean,
like with him, like he has games where he'll go perfect.
Yes.
With shooting.
And have a triple-double.
And have a triple-double.
Dude, this is why I've been saying this phrase for the last year here with you and on the Mile High Hoops podcast. He has normalized the miraculous. This is not normal. Don't ever take it for granted. He is as reliable as the Rocky Mountains are when you look west. It's insane. We are watching one of the 10 greatest players of all time.
So what is watching Jokic right now, Zach? Like, what's his strength?
Jokic?
Yeah, like, you know, everybody has their strength, right? Edwards for the Timberwolves.
Yep.
His strengths are different than Jokic's.
Yeah.
What's Jokic's strength?
This would be my scouting report on Nikola Jokic. He's a supercomputer that downloads whatever defense and whatever size the defender is, and he'll process it and figure out a way to beat it. He's one of the best users of angles in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
He plays angles like he's playing chess. He has the softest and best hands in the NBA. Dude, he's got like spider webs for hands. When's the last time we saw Nikola Jokic like fumble a basketball? You don't see it.
Never.
He's got the best footwork in the NBA for a post player. He's ambidextrous around the basket. He can use both hands. He is the best passer that the position has ever seen. I mean, he can shoot. He shoots threes and makes threes. He is so reliable at the free throw line. What else is there? I mean,
so if you have a scouting report like that, which there's times where we would get meetings in football and we have a scouting report and it sounds like that. It's like, damn, coach, we're going against Superman?
Yeah, and this time they are. This time they are. This is why he's going to be the ninth player in NBA history to win an MVP. And my question is, and we have a good guy to talk about this with. On with us, okay? It's James Merrillat from DenverSports.com.
Oh, James!
Who has been taking in Colorado sports since 1940.
Yes.
Now, somehow, he's like born in the 60s, but yes. somehow, some way, James was taking it all in even then.
The leather helmets.
So here's my question, Mr. Merrillat.
Yes.
And it's my question that I'll throw out to our listeners on the RamosLaw.com text line. And I also have a poll asking this question on Twitter. You can hit me up at Buysline. Phil is at I See You Boy. Okay? And here's the question. Jokic is already going to win his third MVP. We know that to be true. Okay? He'll be the ninth player ever to do it. But under the, I don't want to assume, but just forecasting, if the Denver Nuggets go on to win a championship, and they're amongst the favored to do it, right there with Boston, if they go do that, it's a foregone conclusion that Jokic is going to win finals MVP. If those things happen, in addition to what we already know to be true, him winning his third MVP, will Nikola Jokic have passed John Elway and Joe Sakic as the greatest Colorado athlete of all time? James, what do you make of that question?
I think the answer's easily a yes. He may already have done so. Look, there's only a handful of guys that are even in this conversation. Elway and Sakic probably at the top of it. I think Peyton Manning, even though he's only here for 4 years, is in the conversation. The records he set, he had an MVP, he went to two Super Bowls, he won one here. But everybody's going to reply, I'm guessing, who says that Jokic isn't number one. They're going to say Elway, and it's the impact Elway had, and he was here for 16 years and all the rest of it. Here would be the thing I would pose. When John Elway finally broke through and won Super Bowls, he had a Hall of Famer behind him. He had a Hall of Fame tight end. He had a Hall of Fame left tackle. He had a wide receiver who should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he had some guys around him, certainly a lot of Pro Bowlers. Nikola Jokic will have done all of this. Now, this is maybe not fair, but it's the reality, without playing alongside another all-star.
So true.
During that time, three MVPs, two championships, and two finals MVPs, playing out your hypothetical, without playing with another all-star. Like, Joe Sakic had Peter Forsberg, who's, you know, had he not had the foot issues, probably would have been the best Avs player of all time. I mean, he was Nathan MacKinnon before Nathan MacKinnon. Look at MacKinnon, like, right? He may be in this conversation at some point. He's playing with Makar and Rantanen, and, I mean, he's got three of the, you know, he's one of them, but they're three of the top seven players in the league alongside of him. Jamal Murray's a really good player, never been an all-star. Aaron Gordon, really good player, perfect fit to play alongside Jokic. And I was thinking of that last night watching the game, and there's the whole Tim Connelly conversation with the T-Wolves. What a great trade that turned out to be, because he is the perfect guy to play with Jokic. MPJ, good player, but, you know, certainly not great. Like, to do it without another star, to be Batman and not have Robin,
right?
I think that puts him all by himself, guys. It's remarkable what he's done.
See, James, I feel it's hard to say on paper, yeah, Jamal Murray's not an all-star because somebody hasn't listed him as an all-star yet. But the way he plays and what he affects for the game.
In big games,
okay? And at some point, if he could just start fast, finish strong, stay healthy, he will be considered an all-star. Then does it change? Because, let's face it, Jamal Murray is an all-star that he just doesn't have the name behind it yet. We use that as an excuse. But we all know if Jamal doesn't play, we don't win. He is a Robin.
And to Phil's point, see, but you guys are both true.
Mm.
But what you guys are saying are both true because, Jamal, you're right. Like, it's the consistency that has held Jamal back.
Yeah.
All right, and there's injury stuff there, too.
Jokic won an MVP, though. In a season, Jamal didn't play a single game.
Correct.
He played with Monte Morris and Facu Campazzo as the backcourt.
Right. Will Barton.
Right.
Those guys aren't in the NBA anymore.
But so, also, James. Go ahead.
You know, when you say these things, and Phil, I think you make a good point, because is Jamal an all-star caliber player? He is. So it comes across like I'm knocking him or I'm knocking AG or MPJ or, heck, even with what I just said.
No, you're not. Baku. Nope.
Like, they're NBA players. They're really good players. But, you know, he doesn't have Scottie Pippen next to him. He's not Shaq with Kobe. He just doesn't have that kind of a player on a night-in, night-out basis who can help carry the load. I think last night even was a prime example. Like, it was on his shoulders, and he went out and just carried that team to the victory. Gets everyone else going, and yeah, Christian Brown had the great dunks and all the rest of it, but they won that game because of Jokic. I mean, if you just wanted to see why is he the MVP, that's the game you need to show people. He just took it to Rudy Gobert, and then everybody else was willing to take it to Rudy Gobert. That was one of the best performances, and I'm including the finals MVP. That was one of the best performances I've ever seen out of Jokic. It was spectacular last night. It really was.
James, how do you score 40-plus and miss four shots?
It's ridiculous.
It's video game stuff.
And, Zach, if we go back to before he was winning MVPs, this was before the bubble, you and I would have this conversation. And I was upset with Jokic because he would come in overweight. He would spend the first 2 months getting in shape. And I was just like, man, you're not going to win anything that way. You're not an alpha. Last night, he was the alpha.
Yep.
Like, just taking charge and taking it to the Timberwolves in a way that I just really haven't seen, even in the championship run. Like, he was great, but he didn't just seem to kind of have that ticked off, you know, Jordan, Kobe, you know, just the greats of all time kind of attitude about it of like, yep, I got this. Get on my back. I'm not putting up with this nonsense. It was a different Jokic last night. It really was.
There's no question about it. And I love, and going back to the can Jokic pass Elway or Sakic, we didn't discuss that earlier, is the supporting cast is perfect for Jokic, but it's non-traditional.
Yeah.
Because the history of the NBA, James, just name me a year in the last 35 years. Name me any year.
2010.
The second best player on the Lakers title team is a Hall of Famer, Pau Gasol. Name me another year. Last 35 years. Pick a year.
2000.
Second best player is a top 10 greatest player of all time in Kobe Bryant.
Let's go 1989.
1989.
That's right at 35 years. That's probably pushing your.
Your second best player is a Hall of Famer, Detroit Pistons. You have Dumars and Rodman.
So then what happens?
You have two Hall of Famers in addition to Isaiah Thomas. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about second and third best players. They have multiple Hall of Famers behind Zeke.
So what happens when Jamal gets over that hump and gets an all-star? Then what happens?
I just think it will change the narrative a little bit. It'll change the narrative a little bit. But for right now, it's and Phil, you're right about Jamal. Like, we have to flip the coin over. The largest jump from points per game from regular season to postseason is literally Jamal Murray. Going from averaging 20 points a game to 28 points a game. It's literally the biggest jump we've ever seen.
Yeah.
But he still averages 20 in the regular season.
Well, yeah, for sure. And that's why I asked, like, if he can ever get over that hump, because he's not an all-star on paper, but he does all-star things.
Yes.
And if we're going to win a championship this year, he has to play.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't play, we don't win. We all agree with that.
You're not wrong at all. And look, we can debate whether he should or shouldn't be an all-star, and I think most people, would, especially in this town, would say he should be an all-star. But, Zach, to your point, he certainly isn't a Hall of Famer.
No, not
and
right
most
now.
Of the time to win a title, it takes multiple Hall of Famers. Certainly to win multiple titles, it does.
Yes.
I mean, listen, if their starting five isn't all healthy, go back to Michael Malone's comments, you know, a couple of months ago, more important to be healthy than the number one seed. He's not wrong, because they have no shot, even if they're the one seed, if anybody from that starting five misses multiple games or a long stretch. But it is important to get both, and I thought last night showed that they know that too. That's not the only reason they won a title last year, is that they had home court in every round, but it's in the top two or three reasons, and I think it was just a monster, monster win last night and sets them up in prime position to go defend their title. It's going to, you know, the NBA title, at least the Western Conference title, goes through Denver, and that's going to be a tough road for anyone.
James, NFL draft is 14 days away.
Yes.
Are there right and wrong positions in the first round for the Broncos?
Oh boy, this is going to sound like I'm hedging here. It depends on the guy. Like, I don't think they should take a tight end in the first round unless it's Brock Bowers. Like, no, you don't need to go that route. Is a running back the right pick? Well, no, but look at the Lions. Was it Gibbs that they took last year in the first round? I mean, we saw that firsthand when the Broncos played Detroit. That guy just was a different element out of the backfield. Compare that to what Denver has with Javonte and Jaleel and Samaje. It's just night and day. So if you're taking that guy, then fine, take a running back. But other than that, probably not. So, and I don't even know that quarterback's the right answer. Not if you're stretching. Not if you're giving up the farm to get the fourth or fifth best quarterback in the draft. That seems like a reach to me and silly. So, no, I don't want, I mean, short of kicker, which is the obvious one, I don't know that there's a wrong answer. They need help everywhere, Zach.
James, top three, you cannot pick a quarterback, okay, for the Denver Broncos in the draft. Who are they drafting?
Top three. Bowers is one for me.
I think he's asking positionally.
Position. Okay, yeah. I'm going to go. I think this team desperately needs a tight end. I think that's their second position of need. Cecil wrote a great piece at DenverSports.com today, kind of going through all of them. Of, you know, it's Bowers at the top, but who are mid round gems and all the rest of that? They have to come out of the draft with somebody that they think can, if not start week one, start, you know, by October. I think that's number one. I think they need to at some point address middle linebacker. They keep ignoring that since Super Bowl 50. That's a spot they have to find somebody. And I don't think you can ever have enough edge rushers. I really don't. And we like Baron Browning. We like Jonathan Cooper, and we like Nick Benito and some of these guys, but, man, if you could go get somebody that's a stud pass rusher game in and game out and not, hey, look good for a couple of weeks, and then you don't hear from him for a month.
Right.
I think it's those three positions.
Hey, last one on the way out here, we'll let you go, okay? Do you think there's a possibility, okay, because I've been kicking this around in my head a little bit. Do you think it's a possibility that Sean Payton miscalculated the quarterback market in the draft? Where at the Super Bowl, when he said what he said, and the clip that got played a bunch here, like, we think we're going to be great. We're thankful that other teams aren't. In his head at the time, he was thinking J.J. McCarthy. Then over the next 2 months, he has a meteoric rise, and now you aren't in love with either Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., but you didn't address it heavily in free agency because you thought someone like JJ was going to be there. Do you see a scenario where they just legitimately miscalculated the market?
Yeah, I actually think it's more likely than not. I think if you had a couple lattes in him and asked what he was talking about, I think that was back at the time when JJ McCarthy was seen as a late first round pick, probably a second round pick. And he thought, you know what? We know this guy's going to be a star. He's going to fall to us at 12, and we're going to look like geniuses. And now all of a sudden, that's a guy that may go, he may not be top four. He may be top two or three. I don't think he saw that coming. I do think J.J. McCarthy was his guy all along, and he's surprised at not only the market for it, but just the rise of that player. Because it has been a remarkable flip of Michael Penix Jr. was thought of in way higher regard than J.J. McCarthy heading into that national title game. Heck, even after the game, he probably was. And that flip in the rise of J.J., I think it caught Sean Payton by surprise. But to be fair, I think it probably caught everybody by surprise. Again, if any of us would have said whatever the day before the national title game was, January 10th, just pick a date out of thin air, that J.J. was going to go number four.
Right.
Whoever said it, the other people would have laughed at him. And so it's not just Sean Payton that got caught off guard by that. But I do think that's why he was a little bit smug about it, because he thought he knew something everybody else didn't.
That is a good place to leave it, Mr. Merrillat. Really good stuff. Appreciate your time here on a Thursday. We'll do this again next week.
All right, fellas. Always enjoy it. Take care.
All right. There he goes, James Merrillat. Okay.
You and James, man. You and James.
What about me and James?
The Jamal stuff, that stuff still bothers me, because it's like, although he is not an all-star, he does a lot of qualities of what an all-star does.
Totally, totally.
But we can't sit here and pretend like, oh, because he doesn't have the name, he's not an all-star. Like, Justin Simmons missed out on all pros just because somebody decided they didn't want to put him in there, right? That doesn't mean he's not an all-pro. And it's like, we're talking about Hall of Fame, having that second guy usually being a Hall of Famer. My man's only been in the league for 7 years.
Oh, Phil.
Hall of Famers are 17.
Well, I mean.
Other than Jokic. This is going to sway so much when this man decides to be an all-star. And if he puts together crazy, crazy years later on, he may end up being a Hall of Famer.
He could. Jamal Murray going to the Hall of Fame, I'm not telling you, it's unthinkable.
Yeah.
But if you're 27, that's typically when we see NBA players hitting their prime.
Yeah.
We've seen what Jamal Murray's prime looks like. It's amazing. It's Hall of Fame caliber. I watched a guy average 32 points a game in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
But there is also reason why he has not been an all-star.
And that's because of injuries.
And not just that. It's the consistency.
And the slow starts, right?
Yeah, the slow starts. The best attribute about Jamal Murray's game is he's a fantastic scorer. But he's also not a top 30 scorer in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
with stats, I feel what you're saying. But we're also sitting here with a double-headed sword saying these things, telling us statistically he's not an all-star, but then we get in games for the playoffs.
He's the man.
And we're sitting here saying, oh my God, we can't do that to this man.
No.
We got to be respectful in everything he's done, because this dude is one of the reasons why we were able to hoist up a championship trophy.
No one's doing anything to Jamal.
Well, yeah, because you guys are trying to fit Jamal with Jokic's situation. It's pissing me off.
If you're building an argument, that's just the fact that Jokic has not, he hasn't played with an all-star.
I agree.
That's
but so take unusual. Jamal out of there, he doesn't win a championship.
I agree. Both things are true at the exact same time.
Yeah.
All right. Good conversation. You want to react to it? Go ahead. Hit up the RamosLaw.com text line. I have this poll up on Twitter. That is now over 700 votes. So it's getting more appropriate for like a sample size to share. If in a couple of weeks, Jokic becomes the ninth player in NBA history to have three MVPs, we know that's going to happen. But if they win a title, would he pass John Elway as the Colorado GOAT? I have the results. I'll pass that along to you here in just a moment. But also, an interesting name and position visiting with the Broncos today. Details next. There's an interesting name and position visiting with the Denver Broncos today. NFL draft, just 14 days away, Phil. That's it, man. Real quick, let me pay off part of the tease from the previous segment. We were having the conversation. If Jokic, we know Jokic is going to win his third MVP.
Yep.
He'll be the ninth player ever to do it. But if he crosses the finish line and wins another championship, would he pass John Elway as the greatest Colorado athlete of all time? We went back and forth on it. We had a lot of fun. If you missed the conversation, hit up the Drive podcast, top of hour number two. All right, we got some listeners involved. We talked about it with the guys behind the glass. But I put it out there on Twitter. If you want to vote for it, it's there for you. Okay, you can follow us on Twitter at Byzline, and Phil is at ICU Boy. We are at on Instagram, too. You're at ICU Boy on Instagram, right?
Yep.
And I am at ZBuy23. Hit me up on YouTube, TikTok, all that stuff. But I put this question out on Twitter, and it's got enough votes to at least take a look at it. It's got over 700 votes here, so approaching a proper sample size. In a couple weeks, if Jokic can win the third MVP, win another title, will he have surpassed John Elway and Joe Sakic and every other Colorado athlete of all time? With 67% of the vote, the majority say yes, he will be the Colorado GOAT. Now, we disagreed on it. I think he will. You think he won't. But that's not, I want to make sure I differentiate this too. When it comes to impact, I don't think Jokic can do, or maybe not even come close to what Elway did in terms of impact. That was just Elway's impact on the state of Colorado. I don't think Jokic can match it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's the impact that has brought everybody to want to be a Denver Bronco fan was what John Elway did for Denver by bringing us Super Bowls and being in Super Bowls, okay? Even though we didn't win them all, we went to five.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. It is a lot.
I mean, what did John play, 16 years? And we're talking about, so if you go to five Super Bowls, you play 16 years? Like, goodness gracious, that's a pretty crazy ratio of appearing in the biggest game in American sports. Interesting name and position visiting with the Broncos today. It's Memphis running back Blake Watson. We heard about this prospect and how excited Cecil Lamb was talking with us within the last couple days about this. He produced 1,600 yards this past year, averaged 6 yards a carry, 17 touchdowns. And Phil, he can move. He ran a 4.39 40. He really popped at the East-West Shrine game. So you have a syncing up from what you saw during the season, what you saw at the in the All-Star circuit. He's a good pass catcher. And I'm curious, just how in play is running back in the draft and who would it impact the most?
Yeah, look, I think that the running back position is in play in the draft. I don't think it's going to be high. I think it's going to be the 5th, 6th, or 7th round. I think that they can get a really decent running back in those three rounds. And we have so many positions we have to fill before we can even start with the running back position, because you still have Javonte Williams, who is going to be the head lead back. Okay, right now on the roster, you still have Samaje Perine, who you spent a lot of money on the running back position to be a third string back, a third string or a backup. And then you have Jaleel McLaughlin, who has had, time where he was just shining and he's explosive. You have to put him in the right position and utilize him the right way, and you have a diamond in the rough and a weapon that can help you win games.
Yeah.
And he's cheap. He's an undrafted free agent that fell into your lap. And so, of course, you want to shore up that position, especially if Javonte isn't going to be the Javonte we know from the first 2 years that he played or the first year he played. And then you have Samaje that, like I said, if you cut him, you're getting money back.
Yeah.
Why would you not want to go for a rookie running back where you're on the pay stub for 4 years without having to pay him anything?
Right. And if they moved on from Samaje Perine, the Broncos could save themselves about $3 million.
And that's a lot of money.
It is.
It's a lot of money that you need because you have to still pay your Russ. So, or, you know, I don't, like, they have so many, they only have a little bit more that they pay because they pay so much.
This year?
Yeah, they pay like 52 this year.
Yeah, exactly. They took like the big chunk up front. Now they do, like, they don't need to make cuts because right now they do have, cap space right now.
Yeah.
They got to sign your rookie class and everything like that. But, yeah, I guess they don't need to do cost-cutting stuff, but if someone is going to be on the chopping block, it's not going to be Javonte.
No.
It's not going to be a guy that costs you literally nothing in Jahlil. It would be Samaje.
Samaje, you save $3 million. Go get a young talent that's going to be there for 3-4 years. Okay, so I think that if it impacts anybody in the running back room, if we draft, it's going to be Samaje Perine.
All right, we'll see how it all shakes out. We'll see how it all shakes out. Guys, it's the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. I can't believe we're doing this again. This is an insane package. Someone went to the biggest football game in the world in Vegas here a few months ago, and now the Fan Flyaway is back, and this time we're sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. All right, here's what you get. 2 tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for you and a friend, totally taken care of from Denver to whatever the destination ends up being, 2 nights hotel stay, and $500 just for walking around money. All right, head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and to claim your special offer from Sport Clips. It costs you absolutely nothing to sign up for this. And the good news is we're making life so stinking easy. If you are one of the people who previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest for that big game, that big football game in Vegas a couple months ago, you're already part of the club and will be entered into this one automatically. Once you sign up, you're entered in for all future Flyaway contests. It's an amazing prize. There is literally no downside. I can't believe we're doing this again. And you can imagine hearing your name called on the Fan for that. That'd be pretty freaking cool. Okay. I have some more responses on the RamosLaw.com text line to the conversation we were having. Could Jokic usurp John Elway as the greatest Colorado athlete of all time? Plus, what are the 5 things we're watching for tonight? That's where we'll go. Coming up next. Doctor. Dante Gomez.
I tell you, Dante comes in here and says some of the wildest stuff. And then dips off.
Oh, my gosh. We love him. Thank you guys for making us a small part of your Thursday. All right. We're going to do our Drive's Top 5 of the night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing. I am not going to be here with you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think it'll just be the second time in, what, 7-8 months since we started the show that we're not going to be together. You're in good hands tomorrow. I'm going to be home with my daughter. And just a...
Daddy daycare.
It's just a silly week. It's just the intersection of just a few different things.
Hey, family always comes first. Family first.
It's all good. We'll be back on Monday. And like I said, you're in good hands tomorrow. But I'm curious, man. It's a slow night.
Very slow.
In Denver sports. Now, I will tell you, right now on ESPN2, it's the Frozen Four between Boston University and Denver, the Pios, and it is 1-1, and that game is in overtime. So the winner is going to go to the national championship and play the winner of Michigan and Boston College. So a really, really intense atmosphere right now in the Frozen Four. Okay. So what are you watching for tonight?
Yeah, there's just not a lot on, Zach. So for me personally, I think I'm going to have an off day like the Denver Nuggets. It was a lot yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Put up 41 points, man.
Yeah.
I did.
You did? In the form of
20,
what?
20 shooting. It was a lot. It was a lot for me.
I was right there with you. And you did not.
You were on the court moonwalking.
I was on the court. I was on the court pregame.
You're like, excuse me, sir. You're not allowed to be here.
like, but I have this badge, sir. No, that's cool, man. Like, I put some of that stuff on my Instagram, ZBuy23. Yeah. Like, I'm standing right next to Nikola Jokic. I'm standing right next to Anthony Edwards. Like, could reach out and touch him. And I do think sometimes, I'm like, what if I just tackle him? What if I just, like, jumped on Anthony Edwards' back when he was in the middle of a jump shot? I'm right there to do it.
And you just, all you have to do is just go and do it.
If it's, like, the Western Conference Finals Game 7, I might take one for the team and attack someone pregame.
Well, you're going to have to be our pen pal because you're going to be in jail for a very long time.
Yeah, me and Otani's translator, share a cell. So seriously, like later tonight, like what will you watch? Are you going to like play cards? Are you going to play dominoes?
So I got to catch up on the American Idol.
Okay. Right?
My guy is it's this country singer, 15-year-old, black country singer.
Love it.
Really, really young, has an amazing voice. I want to say his name's Tristan. I'm going to have to get it.
Tristan?
Tristan.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's my nephew's name.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's my nephew's name.
Don't. I may be all off. Okay? CTE. I start to remember things. Oh, I don't remember things.
Yeah, no, Tristan Harper.
Yeah.
I'm seeing him right here.
Check him out when you have a chance. And so I got to go back, make sure that I drafted the right people. You know, I'm like the different Nuggets. I draft talent. I'm always in the top three, always, every time I have this draft with my family. And so I got to continue this. It's hard being the GM of the house, okay?
You are a trip. you really are a trip. But I'm Googling this guy. I mean, I'm seeing, like, breathtaking American Idol performance. Like, he's killing
15,
it right now.
Man. And he's, like, the man of the house.
Love it.
This, just his mom takes care of his mom. Like, it's a good story. Very you got to cool. have a good story if you're going to win American
sure,
Idol.
Sure, sure, sure.
That's why I picked him.
I love it.
I know talent.
You know talent. Phil knows talent. Coming this fall on Oxygen. on the Oxygen Network. Drew, what are you looking for tonight?
All right, boys, we got ourselves a big-time hockey game that directly affects the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, Dallas, right?
Dallas and Winnipeg going out of here, actually starting about 8 minutes or so. Dallas with a 5-point lead over the Avs for the Central Division lead. Winnipeg 2 points behind the Avs for the second spot in the division. Home ice advantage is at stake. Obviously, we got the Avs and Jets on Saturday. But I don't know who we're rooting for. We're probably done in the division, right? Avs aren't going to win the division.
No, I would say that.
So you're rooting for Dallas tonight. You want the Avs to keep home ice advantage. So yes. Big boy hockey game, right? It's going to be a fun one to watch.
I love it, man. Direct implications for the next chapter for the Avs. Kamaje Granderson, what are you looking for tonight?
And you know what? I'm not even going to lie to you guys. I'm going to go back and rewatch the Nuggets and Timberwolves.
Really?
It was so good. And I want to go back and see one moment specifically. Michael Porter Jr. Can you be trusted? Because though I know Aaron Gordon and KCP were the ones that sat last night, Michael Porter Jr. could be getting the short end of the stick moving forward. So I kind of want to go back and rewatch some of those rotations, see what Michael Malone was thinking, and see does he really trust MPJ or is he just using him to get through the regular season?
Interesting. So you're going to go back and relive the game last night.
Yep. Glory days.
So nice. He had to watch it twice.
Got to.
I like it, man. I like it. It's just me and my daughter tonight. Me and my two-year-old.
Isn't that weird?
It's never happened.
So they're already on the plane. They're out
there.
They're there.
They're in upstate New York. They're in upstate New York.
How many hugs do you give your son?
Just one or two, because it was like literally 4:45 in the morning.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And I was at the game with you last night, and we had a sales thing, so I couldn't be home the way I actually wanted to. But it was like 4 something in the morning, and it was all that. But it'll just be me and my baby Mia tonight, me and my two-year-old. And my baby Mia, she's been coming around, but she is like, she can be like purposefully, and I swear to God, she's 2 and a half. She could be like purposefully neglectful. Sometimes I'll be like, Mia, come get daddy a hug, because she'll look at me and be like, and just walk the other direction.
Yeah.
But guess what? Mama's not here to get hugs.
There ain't no mama today.
You are going to get eaten alive by daddy. I am going to eat her face
you
off.
Walk in there, grab a beer. Mama's not here to save you.
So I'm going to get all the affection from my two-year-old over the next few days and really looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. We're going to do some fun stuff, just daddy-daughter stuff. So that's a perfect place to leave it. I will see you
Monday.
On Monday. Have a great weekend because I won't see you tomorrow. Man. Shout out everyone here behind the glass, Kamaje and Drew, making our lives every day as easy as possible. And they are a huge part of our team. Shout out everyone within the sound of my voice for making us a small part of your Thursday. We step aside. Denver Sports Tonight is coming up next.